Lord, I thank you this morning that every person here is going to receive right from the heart of the Father. I pray that every heart would be encouraged and uplifted, that Father God, where there has been doubt and fear, that in its place it would be replaced with faith, Father God, and hope and love. And Lord, bless every heart, encourage every heart here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you all know, we've been doing the Spectacular series, and we are continuing with that this morning, and my message is called Spectacular Branding, and you'll understand what that means in just a few moments. But sadly, I've realised that my print is too small, and so here we go. So, you know, whether we realise it or we don't, all of us carry branding. So you may have been branded in your life in a negative way. You may have been branded an alcoholic or a narcissist, maybe a drug addict or a criminal, or maybe even you carry a mental illness brand. If you're a member of a bikie gang, you carry their brand name on the patch on the back of your denim jacket. Or sometimes you have it tattooed, like with the Coffin Cheaters or the Hell's Angels or maybe the God Squad if you're a Christian bikie. And then there's another sort of branding which is very contemporary, and that is designer label brands. And so there's Gucci and there's Prada, there's Louis Vuitton, Giorgio Armani and Calvin Klein, just to name a few. And you know what I find interesting about branding is that a well-known brand is easily recognisable. Have you noticed that? So without even seeing any words, the Nike Sports tick identifies what label you're wearing or carrying. Without even seeing the word Nike, that tick easily signifies that the brand is Nike. Let's think about a tattoo. This is a permanent way of getting branded. So tattoos have gone mainstream. Those who stay ahead of trends are getting branded with certain things on their bodies. And tattoos, so I'm told, hurt like crazy. And not just during the inking stage, but for a time afterwards as well. And then, once it has settled into your skin, it becomes a scar and it's a branding for life. But whatever symbol a person chooses says something about him or her. And that's why tattoos and brands are chosen in the first place, because they're actually a mark of identity. So when you see an Olympian, you often find they're wearing a jacket or a shirt that has Olympic rings. People who are in love put each other's names on their bodies. Better hope that in 50 years you're still in love with the same person. The occasional on-fire Christian gets an ichthus or a cross. So in talking about branding this morning, what does it look like for a Christian to carry within them a spectacular brand? Let's turn to Ephesians 3, 13 to 14, and it says this: "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You are marked in him with a seal, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. A seal is an identifying mark that is often placed on a letter or a contract or another document, and it showed that what was in the letter came from the person whose seal was on the outside. If you've ever watched any of those old movies like The Three Musketeers or whatever, when they carry a message, they seal it with the king's seal. In the ancient world, cattle and even slaves were branded with a seal to show who they belonged to. That mark would deter people from stealing because they had that seal upon their bodies. And the Bible uses this whole idea of branding and sealing in a few different ways. And when considered together, they help to provide a full picture of what Paul is talking about that we've just read in Ephesians. So in the Old Testament, God set a sign on his chosen ones to mark them out or set them apart as his possession and to keep them from destruction. We read in Revelation 7:3 that God places a seal on his people to identify them and protect them from wrath. We also see that the guards put a large stone over the tomb of Jesus to seal it in Matthew 27:66. And of John being told to seal up the words of the prophecy. This communicates security and safety. And we also read of God authenticating the relationship with his seal in John 6:27, and this is similar to that whole concept of Abraham's circumcision serving as a sign and a seal of his righteousness. So if we put this together, we see that in the scriptures, a seal communicates the following messages: ownership, protection, authority, and a validation of the relationship. It is God's branding. So Christ died on the cross for us and his blood was spilt for us. But when we choose to accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we are branded by the blood, by his blood, by the Holy Spirit. Because of the branding, we, along with that branding, have to get the greatest shepherd known ever watching over us. But you know, here's the thing. It's the thing I want to ask you this morning. We've got this personal good shepherd. Every Christian gets to have their own personal shepherd. And yet so many of us, so many Christians live like they don't have a shepherd. It's like the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus is there and he's trying to bring us back to the flock. But we're not taking any notice of the shepherd. We're going our own way. We're choosing. We're making our own decisions. We're doing our own thing. So how is that for a reflection for the branding of Christ? I want to read to you Psalm 23. And actually, join me as I read it if you would like to read along. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And a scripture, this is a scripture that Pastor David preached on a few weeks ago. But let's look at the difference between living like we don't have a shepherd and living like we do. What will people see from our brand when we don't live like we have a shepherd? And what will people see when we actually live our life on a daily basis, looking to the shepherd to provide for us? Because when we don't live like we don't have a shepherd, we're anxious, we're insecure. We strive in our own strength and humanity. So when it comes to supernatural need, we don't call on that. We just look at what we've got in our own hand and we forget that he said that we will not be in lack. We will not be in need. What happens is that we don't access his protection. We feel like we're alone. And you know what? We were never meant to do life alone. And yet so often we have this, I don't know what happens inside of us, but this independence, like, I'll do it my way. Sometimes we can feel helpless and hopeless. And truthfully, the covering of the shepherd is not on us because we don't invite him to guide us, yeah, to lead us, to provide for us supernaturally. When we do, however, live like we have a shepherd, we lack nothing. He brings peace in the storm. He's able to come into your most difficult circumstance when everything seems to be out of control, and he brings peace. And it says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah? We don't go around it. We don't escape it. But we walk through with his ability and his strength. He refreshes our soul, our mind, our heart, our emotions. He is our protector. He fights for us and he seals us. He brands us. He covers us. We are blessed. Our future is secure. You know, so many people, when I visit people who maybe have a terminal illness, they're scared of the future. But when we know where we're going, we know that we are only travellers passing through. This is not our final destination. Our future is promised eternally. And this is the really cool part. He guides us back. He brings us back when we stray. Yeah? When we act like we don't have a shepherd, we go off track. But we also misrepresent our brand, our spectacular brand. So just like when a person can be negatively branded, I think throughout history and popular culture, Christianity, a lot of the time, for good reason, has been given a really bad rap due to the brokenness of many people who have represented Christ in their actions. And you and I know that there have been atrocities done in the name of Christ that have tarnished the Christian brand. Myself, and I know many of you would remember times when we have been disappointed and ashamed of our brand when we see media reports of these atrocities. And you know, even on a more surface level, in movies and TV shows, the Christian characters are usually portrayed as a joke. They are generally judgmental, annoying, weak, nerdy, lame, and weird. Think of Ned Flanders in the Simpsons TV show as the epitome of this. You know, when I was growing up in church, a lot of Christians misrepresented our brand, not purposely, with well-meaning and good hearts, by boxing God in with standards and expectations that totally misinterpreted God's word. For example, my sister Kerry, who's 5 years older than me, had to fight to wear jeans, denim jeans, because they were too worldly. Being holy became more about wearing a head covering or a hat and not about what was going on inside our hearts. Despite good intentions, there was way too much judgment on outside appearances rather than the expressions of God in our hearts. There was also a misinterpreted mentality that pastors and missionaries should stay humble and not be given too much wealth. So their pays were ridiculously low. And a prime example of this is that people would save their used tea bags and send them to missionaries to reuse. But worse than that, the missionaries were meant to be so grateful for their generosity. You may laugh, but that's the environment, the mentality that I grew up in. Thank the Lord we've come a long way from that. Another example was in the definition of gender stereotypes. So when families had babies, what would happen is the men would sit up the front of the church so that they could be spiritual, and the women would be up the back managing a handful of children and trying to keep them quiet. There was no creche. There was no children's ministry. It was you were just looking after your kids. Can you imagine what that would be like here today? And in relation to Christian branding, we were not relevant to the unchurched. In some Christian households, it was even seen as ungodly to own a TV or go to the movies. Would Jesus be found in a movie theatre? There we go. That's the sort of stuff that used to happen. Now, I'm not saying for one second that we should compromise on biblical principles in any way. However, sometimes in our humanity, we can distort what really matters about the Christian brand. These days, it's great to see that churches are a lot more relevant in our reach to our communities through embracing the times and the seasons, and we're living by utilising technology to spread the gospel. The perfect example of our reach has been in how we've increased our reach when we were literally forced to go online during COVID, during this world pandemic. And I'm sure that there were countless people who maybe for the first time looked at church online, and it had a great positive impact. And what I'm proud to say this morning is that we as a church stepped up, and we were able to not only move our services online, but to produce a daily devotion called Thrive. Who enjoyed Thrive? Yeah. It helped us to stay connected when we were isolated. You know, when I reflect back on the culture I grew up in and consider the whole idea of Christian branding, I have this sort of desire in me to kind of right some of the wrongs. And I so want to, in my life, rebrand what Christianity is really about and get back to the core issues of what it actually looks like to be an authentic Christ follower, an authentic Christian. So I want to rebrand Christianity. In my life, I want to be so Christ-like, so compassionate, so forgiving, that's tricky, so non-judgmental, so kind, so committed to justice, and so unconditionally loving that people see Christ in me as a spectacular brand. Amen? Amen? And, you know, what makes our brand distinctive, like the Nike tick, is our example of Christ and all of the Christ-like characteristics that come with this. But here's a really interesting thought. And, you know, there are lots of people out there in the world today who are doing acts of kindness, who are, you know, doing great things for humanity. There are people out there who are excessively generous. But, you know, a lot of the people that are doing these things are not necessarily Christians. So, with that thought in mind, if there are so many unchurched people and organisations who are kind and generous, how much greater, how much kinder, how much more generous should we be? We should be excessively kind. We should be incredibly generous. This needs to be our distinctive. What does a Christ-like brand look like? It's so distinct because it's so easily recognizable. What makes you and me distinctive is when we actually are so Christ-like that we do things that don't make any sense, that aren't necessarily logical, but they're just Christ-like. What is rebranding and how is it done? Anybody know? Anyone heard this? It's a very popular term, rebranding. It's defined as changing the corporate image of a company or organisation. So the other week, Rod and my youngest daughter Nat and I are out for dinner. And Nat is telling us how Chicken Treat, everybody knows it, Chicken Treat, how Chicken Treat is rebranding. And Daniel, you know, because you love chicken treat. And in fact, you just love food in general. And so they're rebranding, okay, by using social media. And what they're doing is they're connecting with the younger generation with funny content and memes. Now, I wanted to show you a funny meme that they've done, but unfortunately because of copyright, I couldn't do that. But have a look, go on and have a look and see what Chicken Treat are doing. What they've also done is they've changed the designs inside their stores and their TV advertisements to be more culturally relevant. So Nat was telling us that this method of rebranding has been working so well and has helped them to grow their influence and social media following significantly. But the approach that the company they employed used to make them more popular was authenticity. And I think it says a lot about what people are looking for today. I believe that being authentically Christ-like is part of the rebranding that I've been talking about this morning. And there are good places to start in the book of Corinthians and Galatians. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, 47 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Galatians 5:22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But you know, unlike any other branding, our branding is not necessarily found on a sign or on a shoe or on a shirt. We are sealed with a brand on our hearts. We carry our brand on our hearts. And we need to make sure, Real Life Church, that we are rebranding ourselves daily, making sure that how we reflect this brand on our hearts is in line with how God first established it to be. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let's live the brand of Jesus so it's pleasing to the Lord, and this will honour him forever. What I want to put out a challenge to you this morning is to say, let's live this personal and spiritual brand that lifts others up and draws people to hope, love, and most importantly, to the greatest shepherd we will ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be Christians today, Real Life Church, whose spectacular branding screams Jesus. Amen.